How many of us like to give affection to our children, right? And how many know that our children want to feel, amen, your hand upon them as you give them affection, as you love on them and you stroke their hair or whatever, you know? God is good and He does that to His kids and He reassures us, He reaffirms us, He validates us. We don't need the validation of man. We need the validation of Papa God, amen? And He will do that. And He will validate you through others as well. But you are important. You are His child. You are a child of the King. You may not feel like it, but that's who you are, and that's what you want to accept. That's what you want to live out of. Your new identity. And old things have passed away. All things have become new. We no longer live out of the old, we live out of the new. We no longer live in death, we live out of life. We're not striving to achieve life, we're living and operating out of life. He is life, and in Him is life, and you are complete in Him, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ alone I place my trust. In Christ alone I place my trust. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Aren't you glad that the Lord is faithful? You know, there's times in all of our lives when we really go through it. We really struggle, you know. None of us are above that or too spiritual to have struggles or have valleys. The valley is important for our growth. But through it all, we learn to trust in the Lord. We learn to trust in Jesus. Yeah. When you've gone without for a season and then the blessing comes, it's always so much better. When Israel had thirsted in the barren land and they had traveled several days without food and water, and they came to the pool of Marah and they thought, oh, hallelujah, water at last. And some of them were probably saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. The water's, we've got water to drink. And they went to drink the water and it was bitter. Has anybody ever been through that before? Where you thought it was an answer to prayer only to find out that it was more to come. How many know that we can learn from the examples, amen, in Scripture, and how God deals with the people? What they didn't know at that time is up ahead was Elim, and there was a place of refreshment, right? Where there's 12 pools and 70 palms, remember? And they found an oasis in the barren land, an oasis in the desert, a place where they could find refreshment. Sometimes we're going to be tested, and it's in those times of testing when you're not feeling God. You're not hearing God. You're not sensing God. God seems to be so far away, but it's in those times where the Lord is just allowing you to experience, all right, what it is, first of all, to be without His presence, so that we will appreciate His presence even more. When He allows us to sense or feel Him, His presence again, but also whether or not you and I are going to believe what He promised. We are children of promise. We live by the promises of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes the Lord will withhold His presence because we've been knuckleheads too. I mean, that's true. Of course, none of you have ever done that, but I have. But that also causes something to stir within us, a hunger to say, God, if there's something that's not right in my heart, I want to get it right because I don't like this sense of being alienated. Not always is it due to sin, but sometimes it can be. And God is just waiting for you and I to do the right thing, to make the right step. Sometimes it means that we need to forgive somebody. We forgive, we search our hearts, we let the Holy Spirit turn the light on, we do what He tells us to do, and voila! I don't know what voila means, maybe I shouldn't even use that term.
Poof?
Poof? Yeah. Did you hear what Jonathan said? Sometimes he just wants us to call on him. In fact, I know he does. And quit being lazy, right? Once we're aware of what we need to change, what we need to do, then it's just a matter of you and I cooperating and aligning our will with his will and just making a decision that I'm going to obey him. Do what he said. And the longer you hold out, and sometimes the harder it gets. He loves you no matter what. He still loves you because we're his kids. Amen. Let me give you a microphone. He said he's going to share something. Boy, I'm starting to get nervous now. He's got his Bible. And...
Good evening. Bless you all. I love you. As does Jesus. I have something that I really want to share with you. And it's in regards to something that kind of relates with what Brother Larry spoke on during the revival. I'm not going to go into the cabal spirits. Those who were here had the great pleasure of hearing about that. I know it was new to me and to my soulmate, Elva, and I'm sure to many of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to love and respect his knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's that knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, that truly sets us free.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we are a flock of sheep, and we have an earthly shepherd in this precious, precious man. Who is a man to be honored, who is a man of authority, who God has put a calling upon his life, who has a precious soulmate in Jesus, who watches the flock with him, who watches over pastor. What I want to say, we're in war. We are in a vicious war. And I don't have to tell you who it's with. It's a mind game, and it is a battlefield of the minds. We need to pray daily. We need to be right here in the everlasting, precious, beautiful words of God. Mm-hmm. You know, this truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is just a guideline, precious, mm-hmm. beautiful guideline for us on this earth. And you know, we are in the midst, and I'm not going to go into details because there's no need for that. But what I'm here to say is, I want to talk about us as peacemakers. As sheep in the flock, we need to be prayed up. We need to pray powerful, everlasting hedge of protection around our shepherd, around his family. I pray even around his dogs, precious, you know, and Cookie, around the property that this building sits on, around the church van, around each and every one of us. And we need to do it daily. And more than once a day does not hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be sensitive to what's going on around us with our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And with, again, our shepherd. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to first make sure he is of good health, that he is spiritually strong, and that he's not slipping at all. It's not an easy job that this man has. And, you know, there's a reason why he is here. There's a reason why every one of us is here.
Yes.
Because by the will of God, and if it's not the will of God, believe you me, he will move you.
Yes.
He will move you. So be very thankful and grateful that we are here, that we are experiencing an open heaven. Does heaven not shine through us?
Yes.
Just like the song says, it does. So with that, you know, there's slipping going on. We've all fallen off our paths. We've all come short, you know,
yes.
The glory of God. We know that.
Yes.
And it's so vitally important right now to pray, to stay in the Word, to watch over one another,
mm-hmm.
to keep our eyes and keep these guys strong and in prayer. I say these guys, our shepherd and his wife and family, and each and every one of us. That's what love is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never knew love until God came into my life. I wonder why I had two failed marriages. Why I was an alcoholic, why I was a drug addict, a sex addict, pornography addict. You name it. Philip Charles was that. I was it. I was in love with the world, I'm telling you. Until one glorious night about 18 years ago. And I know most of you heard this, and I'm not going to go into it, but the Lord came to me in a visitation. Changed my life. Opened my eyes. opened my heart and I said, Lord Jesus, come in, please. I'm done. I'm ready for you. And, you know, we live in Him. We are in Christ. Praise God. I want to share something, if I may, with you. Be a peacemaker. Call to unity. Is that important or not? What are you giggling about? In our relationship with the Heavenly Father, we display our Father likeness by manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of peace and in doing what is important to Him, making peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And He also said, I must be about my Father's business. His last will and testament was, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He came to bring peace, made peace through the blood of the cross, and calls us to be peacemakers. Peacemaking is a family business we all need to share. We must have peace before we can become peacemakers. Peace is a sure sign we have accepted our reconciliation with our Father. Peace is the result of a forgiven heart, now filled with Christ's Spirit. How beautiful is that?
Yeah.
When peace rules in our hearts, we can be peacemakers. Being a peacemaker means becoming the initiator in reconciling conflict between others and us. Our part in the family business is to tear down walls that divide us.
Yes.
And constantly work for understanding. In a world where people and groups are at odds, our calling is to actively seek to resolve conflicts. We can listen to, love, care for people on both sides without taking sides. Yeah. For we stand on a third side, on the side of peace. Mm-hmm. Peacemaking means going into the family business, the business of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to close in saying that things aren't always easy. We know that. But we have a precious Holy Father God that we can always call on. That's got us right here in the palm of His hand. He's never, never away from you. And you know, when you come into the toughest times, the most challenging times in your life, and I know all of us have experienced that a time or two, and you become distant and you think, Lord, show me, are you really there? And I don't know about you, but it's never failed me. And I will admit, and I don't know if I should say, shamefully, reluctantly, through my illness with meningitis, there was times where Elva and I both, we cried out like never before to Jesus. And then we waited. We just simply waited.
Amen.
You know, if I had a prayer for everybody that I love so much in this room tonight and those that aren't here, for whatever reason they couldn't be here, and that is that we just simply open our hearts to God. Leave them open. Ask Him to search your heart daily. Remove that which is of you and replace all that is of Him. And keep your eyes on the prize. Look around you. Look around you. Look at your brothers and sisters in the world. And if you really have the love of God in your heart, how can you not reach out? How can you not go to them? How can you not pray for them or lay hands on them or offer salvation to them or just bless them, be a blessing to them?
Yeah.
Give what you have freely been given.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Yeah, man.
That's the greatest gift.
Yes.
You know, the other morning, the pastor called me, and he caught me at a real, I don't know if vulnerable is the right time, a very exciting time. I was sitting, Elvin and I were sitting in our chairs in the living room, had the windows, blinds open, and I was looking out at the beautiful rhododendrons that just opened up, red and I think a purple. I looked at the trees, you know, the alders and the firs, and you know, the presence of God, which is so beautiful, so overwhelming. And Pastor called me and said, are you okay? Because he could tell in my voice that I was shook up and stuff. I said, yeah, it's just the presence of God came over me. I just looked and I realized I'm just looking at Jesus everywhere I look.
Yes.
I mean, right now, I'm looking at Jesus.
Amen.
You got to believe that, people. Yes. You know? I mean, we are here to emulate, to imitate He whose Spirit dwells in us. You know, we are dead. We are dead. I hope when you pray that you pray, I die to self each day. To walk, to abide in you, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that's where life is.
Amen.
It's in Him.
Yeah, amen.
It's not about us. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway, let us be sensitive to our brothers and sisters in a very rough, tough, aggressive, dark, sick, hurting world. There's a lot of people out there who are looking for what they don't know what they're looking for, but it's Jesus. We know that. You know, and God certainly has prepared a number of people in our path and around us that He expects us to go out to, to reach out to. You know, it's about, we are the salt of the earth, light of the world, let our light so shine. And you know, that's what we need to do. And you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So anyway, praise God. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening to me. And glory to God.
Pastor Phil, thanks for sharing. How many can see him in the pulpit? He's got a real gift of mercy. He's a real blessing. And so, we've been in a study in Revelation for some time now. Chapter 16 of Revelation, and verse 17 beginning. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Interesting that this last judgment is poured into the air. How many know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? And that is the second heaven. There are three heavens that we see in Scripture. We are living in the first heaven. Satan and his demons are in the second heaven. And then there is the third heaven where God is. And it's poured out into this air. And I believe it is speaking of this second heaven. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Some translations say, "It is finished." Now remember, our Lord at the cross said the same words, "It is finished." Our redemption, amen, was complete. He had purchased our redemption. He had paid the price for our sins. This, "It is finished," is the conclusion of the judgments that are coming upon the face of the earth. For those who are going to be here during this great devastating time called the Day of the Lord. I don't believe, and I say this often, that the church is appointed to suffer God's wrath. That's what Thessalonians tells us. But we are to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be ready so that when the judgments of God come, amen, we are not going to be in them. It wasn't until Noah and his family had come upon the ark when the Lord began to pour out the judgments on the earth. Amen? It wasn't until Lot and his family were taken up out of the city before God rained fire and brimstone down on the city. God did not purchase a bride, a people, amen, to put her through His wrath. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. You will have difficulties in the world. But there's a difference between tribulation and the wrath of God. We are not appointed to suffer His wrath. Amen?
Amen.
We are to look to Jesus. We are to watch and pray always that we be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. And so this final bold judgment out of 21 judgments is poured out in chapter 16, in verse 17, now verse 18, there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Has this ever happened yet? No. Is it going to happen?
Yes.
Do you plan on being here for that?
No.
Good. Now the great city was divided into three parts. What great city would that be, do you suppose? Jerusalem, and the cities of the nations fell. And then he talks about, he brings in Babylon. The great city, scripturally, would be Jerusalem. Now, the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So here it speaks of great Babylon. I believe there are two Babylons. There is a political Babylon, which is called Great Babylon, and then there is a spiritual Babylon, which is called the Whore, the Mystery Babylon, which is the Whore, and we will go into that a bit. This is a counterfeit church. This is an idolatrous church. This is not the true church. Whenever you see the word adultery, especially, or idolatry, in the Old Testament especially, it's speaking of spiritual harlotry. When a nation forsakes God, when a nation sins against God, they are cheating on God. They're committing whoredom. And because God is just, and because there are consequences, there are wages for sinful behavior. Even today in our nation, even today, I believe we are seeing the results of the sins of the people that is even causing creation itself to become defiled. And when it becomes defiled, when the land is defiled, it revolts. And you have earthquakes, and you have plagues, and you have devastations that come. People say, why would God do this? It's not that God is doing that. It's because God is just. And because there are consequences for choices that people make. Because God gave mankind the freedom of choice. And our actions, what I do, even in secret, does affect other people. People say, well, what they do, you know, in the closet doesn't affect anybody. Baloney. It's a spiritual act of defiance and disobedience. Whenever anybody turns against the living God and does despite unto the Spirit of grace, there are consequences. And even the innocent people often suffer because of the sins of others. The good news is that there is redemption in Christ. The good news is that if His people, the people that are called by His name, will humble themselves. Who's that? 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If we will humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, the church, then He would hear, amen, from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. We're going to be talking about more of this in the days to come. And then verse 20, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Now, there are three different measurements here, the Greek, and then the Jewish form of measurement, and then there's another one. But whatever the amount of the weight is, it's anywhere between 80 and 120 pounds. Using all three scales. So if you average it, you're looking at about 100 pounds of hail for each stone that comes down. Can you imagine the devastation? I mean, when they have hailstone the size of baseballs and occasionally even like a grapefruit, it's huge. It's devastating. It kills people and cattle and destroys buildings even. This is nothing compared to what's going to happen during this time. And this earthquake is going to be of such severity that the city of Jerusalem will be divided in three sections, and even the mountains are going to be leveled. And because of the tidal activity, the islands themselves are going to disappear. And what happens as a result of this? Do men repent? No. Instead, it says men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Folks, how many of you realize that some people will never change? It doesn't matter how severe the punishment, how severe the judgments. Some people are just bent on having it their way. Some people will not listen to God. You know, the Lord first always comes in gentleness. He always comes in love, and He lavishes His grace upon us. And He gives us blessing after blessing after blessing in hopes that we would look beyond the blessing to Him, the giver of the blessing. That we may know the Father's heart and the love that He has for us, and that we might respond to His love. Amen? Isn't that how the Father is? He loves us. He loves His kids. He blesses us. But sometimes, folks, the blessings are not what draw us to God. Sometimes it's the time behind the shed that draws us back to God. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we're getting off the path. Because God has a destiny for each one of us. And God doesn't want anything to interfere. Amen? With you and I reaching the destiny that He has. For you and I receiving His inheritance, amen? That He has for His kids. How many know that you can lose your reward? You can begin well but end bad. There are many examples in Scripture of men that began well but ended bad. Hezekiah, you know? He's a man that began well but ended bad. Saul began well, ended bad. Samson began well. God did have mercy on him at the end, but still, it didn't end the way it should have. But there are many examples throughout Scripture of men that began well but did not end right. And God wants you and I to overcome to the end. He wants us to be overcomers, amen? Because we are overcomers, and we have to live out of that identity. We have to operate from that place that we are in Christ. Amen? That God has made every provision, that He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ Jesus. He has given to us availability, amen, of Himself. He has given us access to His very throne of grace. Everything we need is in Him. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, God, You didn't take care of me. God, You didn't provide for me. God, You didn't give me what I needed to make it. God's going to say to someone that day, well, You didn't take advantage of what I'd made available to You. You didn't come to me for grace. You didn't call upon My name. Therefore, let us come before Him, amen, with confidence and full assurance of faith, calling upon His name. Let us draw near to God. Let's call upon Him. He is allowing us access into His very throne of grace that we might receive mercy, His pardon, His forgiveness. Amen? And find the power we need to overcome all things. It's in Christ. How many know that the Israelites had to go daily for provision? Amen? They had to take the manna. They had to, by faith, partake of it. And by faith, they had to drink the water that God provided. And so here we see this scene of just tremendous devastation coming upon the earth. And this is the final blow. This is it. Jesus has given opportunity for many to repent here. And there are just those who just won't repent, folks. They're just going to continue to rebel against God. You know where the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell, folks? Do you know that gnashing of teeth is not just because of pain, but gnashing of teeth in anger and extreme hatred towards God? That men are going to actually blaspheme. Men are blaspheming God more and more today now than ever before because of the things that are coming upon the earth. Instead of looking beyond what's happening and asking the question, God, what is going on? God, is there something that I need to do? Is my heart right with You? Instead of coming to Jesus for mercy, men begin to blaspheme. They begin to curse God. And that's what's happening here. Men begin to blaspheme God. And as a result, they will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And the smoke of their torment, it says, will ascend forever and ever. There is no end to this torment. Hell is an eternal place. When a person goes to hell, they do not escape. They do not get out. No one wants to go there. People who joke about that, say, "I'll see you in hell," have no clue what they're saying. Jesus said this, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." John 3:21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light." Who is the light? He said, "I am the light of the world, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." We are children of light. What we do is not in the closet. Amen? The life that we live is we live as an open book. There are not to be any skeletons in our closet. Amen? We need to have pure hearts, pure motivations. We need to be about His agenda and not our own. We don't operate in the shadows. We walk in the light. We come to Jesus. When Adam and Eve had sinned in the beginning, they ran from God. What they needed to do is run to the one who was looking for them. How many know that God didn't quit loving them because they messed up? He said, "Adam, where are you?" Aren't you glad that Jesus did the same thing, the last Adam? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that He called your name? He said, "Where are you?" I can remember a time in my own life when I was hidden. I was hiding from God because of the shame of my sin. Instead of running from God, folks, what we need to do is run to Him. Run into His arms. Are you with me? Amen?
Amen.
Don't ever run away from Him. No. He's there to receive and to forgive. There are consequences for your actions, yes. You may still have to go through some stuff because of decisions you make. But God is merciful. God wants to forgive you. God wants you to be with Him. God wants you to be restored to fellowship with Him. God wants you to reach your destiny. And He wants you at the end of your road to come with joy and expectation that you're going to see the one that you live for, the one that you are willing to lay down your life for, because He laid down His life for us. And hear Him say in that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Folks, that's what I live for. I live for Jesus. I live to hear my God say, "Well done." I live for the validation that comes from my Father. If I don't get validation from man, I want validation from my Father. That's the most important. Amen?
Amen.
If it means I'm not going to be popular with man, so be it. I want heaven to know who I am. How about you? Does heaven know who you are? Does Jesus know your name? Do the demons know your name? Jesus, we know, right? Paul, we know, but who are you? They should know who you are.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But he who does the truth comes to the light. And that's all God is doing, folks. Even through the judgments, it's God and still giving people, giving mankind an opportunity to repent. How many would believe with me that God's not enjoying any of this? Amen? These are just the consequences. This is the culmination of thousands and thousands of years of the sinfulness. Amen?
Yes.
And the depravity of man that has come up as a stench before a Father. And to those who refuse to repent when they had been given the opportunity to be saved. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they shall be saved. Amen? Instead, They rejected the love of the truth. And the Bible says for this reason, God is going to send strong delusion. There is a spirit of Antichrist, folks. Amen? That is going to take over the minds of the populations of people. That it's going to be as if they are in a form of stupor or drunkenness. You look at what happens sometimes on large scales. I was watching America's Got Talent the other night. Yeah, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. But I was watching America Has Talent, and I want to tell you, I was pretty shocked at some of the stuff. Some of it. But let me just say this. What you're seeing is a cross-section of our population there. And if you watch that, you'll just see how debased and how far America has fallen. Especially those of you who have been around for a few years. You've watched this nation. It is coming down very quickly, folks. I'm not here to just give an evil report. I believe that if God's people will do the right thing, we can turn things around. But right now, what I'm seeing and what I was witnessing was disgusting, a lot of it. It was just disgusting. And we should blush when we see that. Amen? We should not be so desensitized by the world's influence on us that no longer do we sense that there's something wrong with this picture. We are not to love the world, neither the things in the world.
Right.
And we're talking about the evil influence, amen, of Satan. What's happening in our nation today is it seems like the movies that are the darkest, the celebrities that are the most vile, are the ones that are the most popular right now. The occult is in all the children's programming. It's in the movies. And it's selling better than anything else right now. What's happening to our nation? You want to see where the tickets are being sold in the box office? It'll give you a little clue of where we're at. And what man esteems, amen, is an abomination to God. We are not of the world. We're not of darkness. We are to be children of the light. And we need to let our light so shine before men. I don't want to get too far off track here, but folks, I'm just telling you that I'm blown away even by the stuff that goes on within the churches. The sin that is so prevalent. People are winking at adultery and fornication and living together outside of marriage as though God will understand. How many know that God does not tolerate sin? Now or ever. He hates sin because sin destroys His people. It destroys people. I was watching a special about the meth epidemic, and we see how terrible methamphetamine is and how it is destroying. They were showing many examples of people before and after. And it was just heartbreaking to see some of our nation's finest being destroyed by this chemical. And it's been an epidemic. It's destroying, wiping out towns. I often question why I get so many invitations for jury duty. Because they don't have enough people to choose from. You and I have an opportunity to make a difference. We are called to make a difference. We are called to be world changers. Amen?
Yeah.
We are called to be the salt, to be the light,
yeah,
and to call in the kingdom reign of God. Amen?
Yeah.
On the earth.
Yeah.
We are to destroy the works of the devil. We do exalt righteousness, exalt Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. We're not going to sit with our arms folded and sit back and hope somebody over there takes care of it. Amen? It's our assignment.
Amen.
We, the people of God, We have been given the commission, not the suggestion, the commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus is Lord?
Yes.
How many know He has all power?
Yes.
And all authority?
Yes.
And the name above all names?
Yes.
And at His name every knee shall bow.
Yes.
We just need to go and declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. Chapter 17, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now, if you quickly just drop down to verse 15, it explains the waters here, which you saw, where the harlot sits, are what? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the waters is already explained here. What are the waters? So you're seeing this counterfeit religious system. It's a world church. Now, a harlot, amen, is a counterfeit. A harlot is one who has given herself to many lovers, amen? Who has not kept herself pure for her husband. Are you with me? But we're talking about spiritual harlotry here. We're talking about a mixing of the religions, all coming together to say, we are the world, we are the people, and we can all get along, and life will just be grand if we just all be a little more tolerant. We don't want to be like those intolerant bigots over there who claim that Jesus Christ is the only way. I didn't say that. Jesus Himself said that in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." There's no other way. He is the door. It's only through the blood of Christ, amen, that we can be brought back into right relationship with the Father. So this counterfeit church, this harlot church, is going to have to compromise. We're going to have to eliminate the cross. The offense of the cross has to be eliminated. So we can talk about Jesus. We can talk about good things. We can talk about the goodness of God as long as we eliminate the cross. Whenever you eliminate the blood of Jesus, you have a counterfeit. You have false doctrine. It is under the sway of the Antichrist. He who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God, but is of Antichrist. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, and the Son of Man,
amen.
The Messiah.
Amen.
They deny His deity, in other words. You see, if Jesus wasn't God, He couldn't qualify because His blood would be that of Adam. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin, and that which was born of her was born of God. Amen?
Amen.
So the bloodline was from the Father.
Yes.
And only through the blood of Christ is there redemption.
Amen.
Only through the pure blood of Christ can we be brought back into right relationship. And so in order for this thing to work out, we all have to make some compromises. We're all kind of just, okay, we'll scrap that, we'll scrap that, we'll add this, we'll add that. There's even a thing today called Chrislam. Mixing Islam and Christianity, they call it Chrislam. How many know they're not compatible, folks? In fact, there's only one way, there's only one truth and one life.
Yes.
And so be it. According to the word of the Lord, I'm going to believe. Amen?
Amen?
What God says, I'm going to believe. I'm going to put my life on that.
Amen.
My future, my hope is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not here. He is risen.
Yes, He is. He's coming back.
And He's coming again for those who are looking for Him. What this is talking about, folks, is religious control over humanity. This world church is going to be influenced by Satan himself, and there's going to be a very strong delusion. It's already happening. How many of you see that's happening? Many churches right now are beginning to compromise in this very thing. They're getting rid of the cross. They're not talking about the blood anymore. It's a slow bleed. They're slowly cutting off the life. How many know that the life is in the blood? Amen?
Amen.
And your life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And your victory is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
Amen.
And this is the gospel which we received. Amen. And we're going to continue to preach it as long as God gives us life and breath. It says in verse 2 that she committed with the kings of the earth fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So this false religion, this counterfeit Christianity, it's going to embrace the world system, which is under Antichrist. Antichrist means in place of or against. There are also, I believe, today many different Jesuses that are being preached from pulpits. And so before the Antichrist can literally come to power and control, there has to be something happening in the spirit realm. There's preparation in the spirit realm. People are being prepared through the media, especially through television, through music. Constant bombardment of the suggestions and the message of the spirit of Antichrist. Where you have ecumenical movements and interfaith movements and groups of different churches and religions all coming together to say we're all going to have one happy religion under one God. As if all roads lead to God. Well, guess what? All roads will first lead to God. But there's only one way to eternal life. In other words, everyone will see God. Everyone will face judgment. And the times of the ignorance of the past, God has overlooked. He's winked at in the past. But today, He is commanding all men everywhere to repent. Are you with me?
Yes.
That is the message that people need to change their mind about what they're doing, where they're going. They need to get with God. So this spiritual fornication is with this world system that's in rebellion to God. And intoxication speaks of a delusion that comes upon anybody because of an unrepentant heart. You know what, folks? All God is asking us to do is acknowledge Him. Are you with me?
Yes.
All God is asking us to do is when He points something out to be honest and say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I repent. I won't do it anymore. Repentance isn't just saying I'm sorry. It means I'm not going to do it anymore. I've changed my mind. I was once, you know, living for hell. I'm now living for heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I was once a child of the devil. Now I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
I'm not going to live out of death. I'm going to live out of life.
Yes.
I'm not going to live out of what was. I'm going to live out of what is.
Yes.
My new place, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Living out of that new identity. Starving my flesh to death every day. Ignoring it. Saying, nope. No place with me. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the cosmos, that system that's in rebellion to God, the love of the Father is not in him. We have a lot of worldly Christians today that want to live for the devil and for Jesus. They want to live for the world and for the church. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride or the boasting of what one has and does is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Amen. Sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Does the world know you in the sense that you are one with them? No. John 15:19, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own. See, this is the problem, is some people are compromising with the world because they want the world to love them. Come on. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. That's spiritual harlotry. That is the spirit of Antichrist. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. James 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It means to be an enemy of God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. So this harlot is symbolic of this one world religion. And it includes counterfeit Christianity that is mixed with the world. Let's make no mistake about it. Judgment is coming. We must listen to the voice of the Lord and we must repent. How many know that judgment begins with the house of God? Judgment begins with you and I. You and I have to be responsible that we walk right with God, that we walk closely, as Phil was saying, that we abide in Him every day, that we are very careful to walk the line with Christ so that we don't give anybody an opportunity to blaspheme our God. Amen? So that in no way that are we cheating on the one who we vowed to walk with when we held up the communion cup of marital wine and said, God, I choose to walk with you. God, I choose to be a chaste virgin unto you. I enter into covenant with you. I'm married to you. There will be no other lovers. There will be no other gods. If ever there was a time, today is a day when we should not be caught up in our own selfish interests and worries. We're living in a time of great, great opportunity. This is a time of opportunity like never before. Especially in the nations, there's such a hunger. There's such an openness to the gospel right now. Folks are coming to Christ by the thousands, folks. There is a great harvest taking place. Today is a day of opportunity. And we need to be looking for every opportunity to reach one more soul. Amen. For Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. In the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 2, the Lord spoke through the prophet to the people and he said, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, listen, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. What was happening? They were all running off to do their own thing. Oh, they were probably going to church, singing the songs, raising their hands and shouting hallelujah. But any other time, they were just off doing their own thing. They weren't about the Father's business. They weren't about building the kingdom. They were building their own kingdom. Folks, I hope that's not true of any of us here. I hope that's not true of me. I want to live for His honor. I want to live for His glory. I want to live to see His kingdom come and His will be done on the earth. Amen? Amen. And you and I are His instruments. You and I are His vessels. You and I are carriers of His glory. God has invested in us His precious Holy Spirit. He's given us an anointing. He's given us a commission. He's given us authority to go in His name and to destroy the works of the devil, to cast out demons. Amen?
Amen.
To pray for the sick, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead.
Yeah.
If we've received from the Lord, then we have something to give. Have you received from the Lord?
Yes.
Then you have something to give.
Yes.
Whatever you receive, find somebody to impart it to. Amen?
Yeah.
What you give, you don't lose. Give and it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to finish with this tonight. In verse 15, this is from the Amplified. Look carefully. Just listen, would you please? Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time. That means buying up each opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine. Now this is huge. This is key to you and I being successful in the harvest. You got to stay high on Jesus.
Amen.
You got to stay inebriated in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Because fear, shame, all the other junk that the enemy wants to throw on you can't touch you there.
Right.
In the realm of the Spirit. Under the shadow of the Most High. Amen?
Yes.
Abiding neath the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. So in that place, in that realm where we are to be intoxicated, not with the wine of the world, but with the Spirit, then all of a sudden we can do things, hallelujah, that are impossible for us to do. Because this mission God gave us is bigger than we are. It's beyond our capability.
Yes.
He's called us to do something that's impossible for us to do naturally.
Yes.
So God would never call His church to this commission without giving her the power, amen, that she needs.
Amen.
And the authority to go in His name.
Amen.
The only thing that's stopping the furthering of the gospel, folks, is you and I.
That's right.
Just not moving when He says to move. Should we repent? Does there need to be any repentance here tonight? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. That's between me and the Lord. You see, sometimes when you even hear the thought of go out and talk to people about Jesus, the first thing that happens is fear. What does that say? What does that tell you? You need more Jesus. You need to have another drink. Come on. Man, you need to rock heaven. You need to go after God with a passion.
Yes.
Say, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up.
Yes.
I want to be intoxicated in your love so it just oozes out of me. I'm supernaturally natural. The supernatural has overcome the natural. The boldness of God has overtaken the intimidation, amen, that I have within myself. His ability overtakes my inability. That's what we're called to do. What we can't do naturally. The just shall live by faith.
Yes.